There's healing, you know, in His presence. There's life. He is life. In Him, the Bible says, we live and move and have our being. He's the Creator, amen, of all things. And everything is sustained by the power of His Word. When God spoke, let there be, there was, amen, and it was good. And that Word is still going out today. You know, the scientists are always trying to catch up to what the Bible already tells them, but that the sound of His voice has gone out. And they say light is continuing to expand. It's still expanding out. It just boggles my mind how large, you know, the universe is. And yet God is greater than all that, as the Creator is much greater than the creation, of course. There are mysteries, but I've learned just to lean back in His arms and let go and trust and have peace for my soul. I know it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I don't have to have all the answers. How many have discovered by now you won't get all the answers in a lifetime, right? But what the Lord wants you to know, He'll reveal to you if you'll seek. If you'll seek, you'll find. There are certain things that we're not ready for. Just like a child, you don't give him the car keys at age 5. But you wait until he's mature enough, learned a few things, and has proven himself to be trustworthy behind the wheel. And so there are things that God will withhold from us until it's an appropriate time in our lives. We're to gain knowledge, amen. We're to grow in grace, charis, right? In God's grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's important that the knowledge translates into relationship, knowing the one who the Word is referring to. The Word by itself, amen, is a letter. But when the Spirit and the Word are united, amen, it is, I'm talking about this is written in the book here, amen. When the Holy Spirit breathes, amen, this Word into us, it brings life to us. And that's why sometimes when we're reading, it can seem dead. It can seem like a lifeless letter until the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the teacher that God gave us, amen, reveals to us Jesus, really. This is all about knowing Christ, knowing Him personally. And we're continuing, by the way, the prayer gathering, prayer and praise. And just very spontaneous, but we have an agenda that we kind of follow. It's out there on the table, but we want Holy Spirit to be the one leading. We need to keep our hand to the plow and not give up, not quit. How many know that we're not supposed to judge by the sight of our eyes? We're not supposed to live by sight, but by faith. If you go out to plant a garden and you put the seed in the ground and go out the next day and expect something, well, you might be disappointed. There's a season, isn't there? You have to wait for things to grow. So it is in our lives. There are seasons in our lives, and we go through different seasons. But the one who plants is the Lord, amen? And we are to grow by the Word of God that's planted in our hearts, amen, and watered by the Spirit. And the Spirit and the Word working together to produce the character, the life of Christ in us, so that we can then express the Lord outwardly in this world. You can't give out anything that you don't first receive. So we need to be in a place where we are receiving. We are at the feet of Jesus receiving what He has for us. The title of today's message is Digging the Well. And I'd like to say, keep on digging. Keep on digging. You know, sometimes life has a way of stopping the flow of God's power in our lives. You know, and whenever this happens, we need to dig the well. We need to dig. I mean, you know, there's an asking, but there's also a seeking. Keep on asking, and you'll receive. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. I mean, you know, if it's something of value, you're willing to seek for it. If there's a treasure hidden in a field, you're willing to go out of your way, amen, to get that treasure. And so God has opened the way to us through the blood of Jesus, the cross, that we can now come into His throne of grace confidently, boldly, and ask. Father wants to give the kingdom to us, does he not? Our Father is a good Father. Your Heavenly Father is a good Father, and he wants to give good things, but he wants to give his Holy Spirit, right, to his children. And so when we come to God, we have to believe that. We have to know that he wants to give you what you need. Amen. He doesn't withhold from his children except that which is not good for us or that which we're not ready for. I find that if I'm just faithful in whatever the Lord does entrust to me, then he will give me more. God made a promise to Isaac that he would bless him as he did his father Abraham, even in a time of famine. I mean, you know, God can cause water to come forth from a rock, amen, as he did with Moses, right, in the wilderness. He can rain manna down from heaven. So, again, we're not to live by the way things appear, by sight, but by faith in God's promise to provide for us. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So it's by faith that we make a withdrawal from heaven. Faith is believing that God is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, somebody say diligently, seek him. All right. So think about this. God reiterated a promise to Isaac, you know, that he would bless him in the land where he was sending him. And guess where he put him? In a place where there was a famine. He said in verse 1, Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And God instructed Isaac there, and he said in verse 3, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you, your descendants, I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. So he's saying, go into a land that is in famine, and I'm going to, what? Bless you. I'll be with you. Verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. How many know that the devil is jealous? Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham. What did they do? Stopped up all the wells, which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. How many know the devil is constantly looking for ways to clog us up spiritually? Yeah? He wants to clog the well in your life. In verse 18, and Isaac dug again the wells of water. What did he do? He dug again, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. How many know it's hard to dig in a time of famine and dryness? It's difficult. It's work. It takes discipline. Thank you. It takes perseverance. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by names which his father had called them. And then the devil, of course, is always looking for ways to also divide us. Do we not see that today in even our society? Splintering and factions and groups and cliques, and this group is against that group. And so that's what the enemy does. He divides and he conquers. And Jesus said, a house divided cannot what? Can't stand, right? Genesis 26:20, but the herdsmen of Gerar, who were there cohabitating with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that. So here they are, digging a well and then quarreling over the benefit of that. So he called that name Sitnah. Now, eventually, Isaac moved away because of all the contention among the herdsmen. But once again, Isaac dug another well. Look at verse 22. And he moved from there and dug another well. They were busy digging. And they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, which means broad places or room. Because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And then he went up from there to Beersheba. And at Beersheba, the Lord reassured Isaac again of this promise that he made to his father Abraham. In Genesis 26:24, and the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So it wasn't even because of anything he did, but because of his promise that he made to his father that he was going to bless his son Isaac. How many know that it's not because of anything we've done, but because of the mercy of God that we receive forgiveness? Amen. We receive grace. So what did he do in verse 25? He built an altar. First thing he did is he built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. Second thing he did. And there Isaac's servants did what? Dug a well. So first he's building an altar, which speaks of worship. He worshiped the Lord. Amen. And he sought him until his soul was satisfied. He's digging the wells. This speaks of refreshing, right? But he pitched his tent, it says, which speaks of abiding. It means he was going to be settled there in the place where God had placed him. So Isaac continued to trust in and to rely upon the Lord. First, he worshiped the Lord, and then he also trusted the Lord. And then, of course, the digging of the wells. Well, what do you get when you dig a well? Water. And what does water do? It refreshes, right? Hallelujah. Without water, we die. All right? And so Isaac delighted himself in the Lord and sought him until his soul was satisfied within him. And so this really is speaking of the refreshing of the Spirit and the Word, which we so desperately need. And if we want to see a spiritual awakening, we need to dig the well. Even in a time of famine, they dug. And they dug until there was water. How many know that somebody is sowing into even this service? People are praying, amen, that the Lord would show up and the Lord would refresh us with His Spirit and His Word. Amen? And so God is looking for diggers. He wants people to dig, amen? He wants us to join together and dig the well. Digging, again, requires perseverance, amen? Commitment, discipline to what God wants us to do. And so the Lord provides the water, but He's calling us to dig the well. That means it requires an act of faith on our behalf to apply ourselves to seek the face of the Lord. I must discipline myself, amen, set myself to seek the Lord. Amen. Isn't that what Joseph did? He set his heart to seek the Lord. And the answer was on its way the first day, amen, he began to do that. But it had been delayed for 21 days. But he didn't give up. He persevered. Amen. The same thing is true for us. If we don't quit and we continue to persevere and we continue to sow in the Holy Spirit, the day will come when that which you have invested, that which you have sown, that which you have given will return in God's appointed season. But if you're not willing to dig and you're not willing to sow, don't expect a harvest. Don't expect personal revival and refreshing if you're not willing to seek the Lord, if you're not willing to take the time to pursue Him. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants us to call on Him. He wants to hear from us, and He wants us to hear from Him. Amen? He wants to speak to you. But you have to be like Isaac, who worshiped the Lord, who continued to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Even again, in a dry and barren land that they were dwelling in, God provided for them a refreshing, even in the midst of all that. How many know that God can provide for you everything you need in the midst of a dry and barren land? How many know that America needs revival? Amen. But you and I have been called to dig the wells. How many know that there are many more of us across this nation that are praying right now that God would open wells of revival in this nation? Amen. And to the degree I believe that those wells are going to come together, they're going to converge, and there's going to be a great outpouring, a great awakening that's going to take place in this nation. But we have got to discipline ourselves to seek the Lord. Amen. In the time when He's calling us to seek Him. God gives us a window of opportunity. Amen? And we need to take advantage of that when He is giving us that opportunity. And I believe America has been given an opportunity right now. If we will repent, if we will seek the Lord, if we will return to God, then God said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And I what? Heal. Heal their land. We have an opportunity right now, but it's vitally important that you and I understand the time we're living in, what is happening around us, get our head out of the sand, amen, and get our head in heaven. Amen. We need to seek the Lord now. We need to call upon the name of the Lord, because the Lord is the only one that can save America. The Lord is the only one that can make America great again, by the way. Hallelujah. Amen. And we need to gather around, hallelujah, the throne of the Lord and call upon Him. And we need to unite, and we need to pull together as His people, not just here but throughout this nation. We need to unite under the headship of Christ right now, and we begin to seek the Lord and call upon Him, just like Isaac did, amen. And as he was doing that, amen, guess what? The well was being dug. And we keep on digging, because I believe that there is a refreshing, a greater refreshing. Thank God for the times of refreshing. But I believe there's a greater awakening. Amen. There's a greater move of God that He wants to bring even here. But we have to discipline ourselves to seek the Lord even corporately, to call upon Him. See, the world promises us great things, but it leaves you empty. How many have discovered that already? The world promises you all these things, and you pursue all these things, and then when you get those things, you're still empty. Why? Because we were designed, we are created for God. And if you're seeking for love in all the wrong places, you're not going to find love, amen? You're not going to find fulfillment in temporary things. Only the Lord can satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. And He wants you and I, just like Isaac, amen, to delight ourselves in the Lord, amen, and to call upon Him and be filled and be refreshed, be renewed, be revived, be restored, be healed, be set free in Jesus' name. He wants to do these things in our lives, amen. He wants to set you up, hallelujah. He wants to raise you up, hallelujah. And He wants to use you as a vessel of change. God will bring the change, but He's looking for someone who will say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I will go. I will stand in the gap. I will pray. I will call upon You. I will believe beyond what I see with my natural understanding, my eyes. Because God is able to make all grace abound towards us. God can save a nation in a day. The prodigal son, remember the story of the prodigal son? He had left his father's house, said, Father, give me what belongs to me. And he went out into the world. He left the father. He left with a full bag and a full stomach. Amen. And he went out into the world, but eventually he had depleted his supply and became impoverished. Isn't that what the world does? Again, it promises you great things, but leaves you empty, right? And so you look for something else to fill the void, and that still doesn't satisfy you. And in Luke 15:14, it says, when he had spent all, there arose, there it is, a severe famine in the land. Yep. And he began to be in want. I mean, you know, Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. My God shall supply all my need. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd, the lover of my soul. Amen. And he leads us beside the still waters. He brings us to the refreshing pools. Amen. He protects us from the polluted pools of this world that look good, but after you drink, you get sick. Many Christians are in a time of famine and don't realize it. How many of you can go a little while on yesterday's bread or yesterday's experience, but eventually you're going to find yourself in deep spiritual poverty if you do not continue to feed yourself and grow in your relationship with the Lord? Yeah. Sometimes Christians are famished because they're sitting in dead ministries. Sometimes it's because they're simply satisfied remaining in a desert place. They've gotten used to being dead and dry. It could also be that the world is a grip on them and they don't even realize they're spiritually dead. The thorny ground, been choked out by the cares and the riches, the things, other things entering in. How many know the Lord does not want us to be in spiritual poverty? God wants you and I to be the tool that breaks the famine in the land. He wants you and I to be the well-watered garden. He wants to use us to speak life into the deadness, amen, of others. God wants the water of His Spirit and His Word flowing out of our lives. He doesn't want us to be a stagnant pool. He doesn't want us to be in a place where we're just receiving but doing nothing with what we receive. How many know that water is living as long as water is flowing? Come on. The water has to be flowing in order to be living. If you want to be refreshed, refresh others. Amen. You want to be watered? Start watering others. Hallelujah. Be a vessel for God. Be a worshiper like Isaac. Amen. Abide in Him, dwell in Him, continue in Him, feed on Him, on His faithfulness, amen, and then be an outlet for God. He can speak through, He can reach through, He can touch through. God wants us, amen, to be an expression of His heart, again, in this world. In John 7:37, this is on our sign, by the way, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying what? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. He said the scripture was talking about me. Hello. Right? I am the word of life. I am the living word. The scripture points us to him who is the living word. Then those who believe, as the scripture says, out what? Of their heart will flow rivers of living water. You know, Satan seeks to quench the Spirit's operation in us and through us. He wants to choke you, choke the life off. He wants to get you engaged, involved in other things that are going to take you away from your relationship with the Lord. Why? Because he's afraid of what could happen if someone were to fully give themselves over to Jesus and allow Jesus to work in and through their lives. So he's going to do everything he can to try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And so he's going to offer you cheap alternatives, other things that will choke the life out of you, things that you are trying to satisfy yourself in, but they just don't satisfy you. And then you go from one thing to the next until finally, if you're like the prodigal son, he came to his senses and realized, what am I doing here eating hog food? Amen. In a land of famine, in my father's house, he has everything I need. And he went back to his father, and his father embraced him and kissed him and welcomed him. He didn't kick him to the curb and say, "You rotten sinner." He said, "I'm glad my son was dead, but he's alive again." He was dead, but now he's alive. Hallelujah. He was lost, but now he's found. That's our Father's heart. God wants us to come. He wants us to drink. He wants us, amen, to dig the well. Hallelujah. Dig it deep, amen, and wide. So there'd be a great outpouring of His Spirit, a great refreshing that God will release. It will be proportionate to what you sow. And keep on sowing. Even in a time of famine, even when you're not seeing anything happening, keep on sowing, keep on watering, amen. Because you know God is faithful, and in due season, what you have invested, what you have sown, you shall reap. If you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't lose heart. See, the Philistines clogged up the wells that Abraham had dug. The Philistines really speak of the earth, earthly man, the flesh, the old nature. The old nature wants to be coddled. The old nature wants to be entertained. Come on. And he wants to rule the house. But we have to put that part of us, that old nature, to death daily. Amen. And how many know that no flesh will glorify or be gloried in the presence of the Lord? Right? No flesh shall glory in his presence. What that means is if I'm pursuing his presence, if I'm seeking his face, then the flesh will fall away. The flesh will die. Are you hearing me? That's how you deal with your flesh. You draw near to God. You worship God. You call upon the Lord. You spend time in his word. Amen. You spend time in fellowship. You obey his voice. You obey his word. And you will be a well-watered garden, because he who waters shall himself be watered. So even though it may appear to be a time of famine, God provided water, amen, even in the midst of that. And people all around us, and some that sit in church every week, are drying up from thirst. They're about ready to blow away with the wind. Are you hearing me, somebody? And there are a lot of people that don't know about this refreshing. They've been eating the stale bread for so long, it's become normal to them. But God has something fresh, something new, new refreshing, a new well, amen, that he is making available for us if we will open it by faith, by sowing through prayer in the Holy Spirit, sowing through praise in the Holy Spirit, amen. Keep on going. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because you can't lose unless you quit. Verse 15. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And again, earth speaks of the flesh. And so our wells can become clogged with fear. Huh? What are these? This is all the flesh. When I am filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not walking in fear. Can you say amen? When you're filled with the Spirit, you're not angry. You're not bitter. You're not resentful. You're not critical. Come on, somebody. You're not selfish when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not prideful, because God has a way of humbling you. And you're not jealous. We celebrate one another. We rejoice in the gift of God in each other. Amen. Thank God for each one of you and the way that God has designed you and the way he has gifted you. And we have to remember that not everybody's going to see things exactly the same way we do, because we're all viewing things through our own window according to our gift set. Amen. But what we need to understand is that we need to embrace what God is doing through the body, and be open to receive ministry from the other parts of the body that will help us grow healthy and strong and become, well, if you will, rounded Christians. Amen. ultimately it's self. It's our self that robs us of the presence and power of God, not the devil. I know the devil can move and work through the flesh. Amen? But it's our decision. It's our choice whether or not we're going to yield to our flesh or not. So a lot of people are blaming the devil for their problems when they need to simply get control of their flesh, and the devil doesn't have an opportunity with you. And you're not going to have control of your flesh if you're not digging the wells and drinking. Amen? If you're not drawn near to God, then your flesh is going to become more powerful. It's going to overcome, amen, your inner man. And your fleshly desires will begin to rule you once again. Hallelujah. Can it happen to a mature Christian? Yes, it can. If we don't guard ourselves, maintain our relationship with the Lord, and continue to come every day and drink and eat, amen, and be filled and be satisfied in Him, then the world will lose its luster. It'll lose its attraction. And the things that you used to delight in, you don't anymore. The things that you try to satisfy with you yourself with before don't satisfy you anymore. You don't want anything to do with it. You don't care about it. How many have a witness of that today? There's things that you used to enjoy doing that you don't care about anymore, because they're like a distraction or a waste of time. How many know that your life is precious and you have a short window of opportunity to accomplish God's will? One of these days we're going to take our last breath. Amen. And then we will stand before the Lord in that day. Everyone has their day in court. I want to live out my life according to the will of God. And when I see Jesus, I want Him to smile and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Come on. I want to be a digger. Amen. And I want to be a drinker. We got to dig the well and we got to drink. Amen. Drink deeply on the wells of Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah. He will refresh you. He will satisfy you. Hallelujah. A little dab isn't going to do you. You know, you go to you get a really good snack. You know, sometimes it's just so hard to quit. You know, we don't have to snack. God set before us a banquet. Come on. And it amazes me. There's a banquet set before us, and some people are just picking at the snack thing, snack jar. And God's saying, come and dine in my presence. Find your delight in me. Because He delights in us. And He wants to be the one to satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. Isaac dug again the wells that had been opened in the days of his father Abraham. How many know that God has wells of revelation? He wants to reveal Himself. If you're willing to ask and seek and knock, if you're willing to dig, He has wells of joy. Huh? Wells of healing, wells of deliverance that are just waiting to be dug. We need to be diggers. We need to be seekers. We need to earnestly seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I want to encourage you to consider what you're hearing today and do something with it. And make up your mind that I'm going to set my heart to seek the Lord. And I'm going to ask God for the grace to do that. Because you have to fight that flesh that doesn't want to pray, that doesn't want to read the Word, doesn't want to be in fellowship, doesn't want to obey God. You have to overcome that old nature, that sin nature. You have to put it to death. And the only way to do that is to be immersed in the presence of God. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have self-control. And you can tell your body what it's going to do. Come on. My body is not my master. It's my servant. And it is the Lord's temple. So I'm to keep myself pure. And I am to discipline this body for the will of God. Hallelujah. Are we willing to take the time to see a mighty move of God in our time? The water is there. It's like an underground river. Are we willing to tap into it? I say yes. I want more, Lord. We need more, Lord. God, make us hungry. Make us thirsty for more of you. Lord, deliver us from those things that would separate us, that would hold us back, that would hinder us in our walk. Deliver us from those idols of the heart, those other things we have set up before you in our hearts. I want eyes for only him. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found steady to the end. The water's there. God says, come and drink. We need to tap into it. We need to keep digging until there is a great, mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Not only here, but in this nation. The only hope, are you hearing me today, for America is a move of God. That's it. Your politicians are not going to be able to save you. Your military will not be able to save you. The only hope for America is a move of God's Spirit. And we need to be a part of that. God is calling us to dig. Dig the wells. Dig the wells of revival. We need revival now, in our time. We need that refreshing now. People are dying every day without Jesus now. God help us. In Psalms 84:5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. In other words, we're a pilgrim people. We're passing through this temporary life. Amen. And as they pass through the valley of weeping, Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Hallelujah. In the midst of dryness, there can be refreshing. There can be revival. And they go from what? Strength to strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Now hear me. Digging wells is going to be met with opposition. So you set your heart to seek the Lord, to dig the well, amen, for revival, there's going to be opposition. The enemy's going to try to stop you. But guess what? He can't stop you as long as you don't quit. Discouragement is no excuse for quitting. Understand that God does not discourage. You need to understand the source of discouragement when it comes to seeking the Lord for the things of God. And therefore, for me to allow discouragement to dominate me is to allow the enemy to dominate me. Somebody say amen. Amen. So you've got to overcome discouragement. And the same way you overcome everything else in your life is the same way you overcome discouragement. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Somebody say amen. Well, digging is hard work. Sowing in the time of famine is hard work, but it will be well worth it when the refreshing comes. I'm believing for that. And I've finished with this morning. Are you ready? Please hear this. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. God wants us in fellowship. He wants us united. He wants us gathering. He wants us praying. He wants us digging and seeking and knocking. Amen. God honors unity. When we are united together with one purpose, with one goal, and that is to seek the Lord, amen, for refreshing. When our hearts are set on that, amen, and we're united, God commands the blessing. He commands the blessing. He honors unity. The devil's trying to disunify the body of Christ. Amen? God wants us to pull together. It's not about man. It's about Jesus. Amen. Seeking the Lord together. And here it is. I finished with this. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we what? Do not lose heart. Hallelujah. I want to challenge everyone once again to consider what you've heard today and to apply yourself to search out and seek the Lord and His Word. Amen? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We have to be deliberate about this. We have got to get control of that flesh. Amen. Whether it means fasting, fast. But fast and pray. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. You get victory over your flesh. You have victory in every area of your life because the enemy cannot touch you except that you yield your flesh to Him. Amen. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I want whatever you have for me. I want you to open up a well within me and release the waters of life, your Spirit, your Holy Presence to flow once again in my life and out of my life. And I pray that out of my life, Jesus would shine. Lord, revive me. Again, awaken me and give me the strength to persevere in Jesus' name.